So, hey, stop me if you've heard this one. Elevators really terrify me. I've been taking steps to avoid them. I got a nod of approval. Yeah. The Dr. D on the mic. Soup stirring up hot takes. This ain't casually anymore. We're live on a rhyme sheet. Let's go. Hello, arachnids. This is your host, D to the D, Dr. D, with my friends, Mike and Alex. I've only just met him, but he's a fixer from Florida, my old stomping grounds. How's it going, Alex?
It's going okay. I mean, Florida's, it's still hot. Like, it hasn't gotten any better in that sense, so.
And they say that, you know, when you go to Florida, it's best to just visit, not live there, right? Because if you go there in that July, August time, you're literally going to die.
Oh, I mean, well, and also with painting minis half the time, I can't even base coat anything because it's 150% humidity outside, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your minis just melt.
Actually, you know what? You might really like it there, Mike, because the air feels like soup, and you could literally just drink it.
It pretty much does. I stay indoors all day, hence my complexion of an iPhone.
So Alex is a joker. Look at this guy. He's got jokes. He's going to fit right in. I love it. So today on Netwatch, we're going to be talking to Alex about the things he's been doing down there in the Jacksonville area. He is a fixer for the from what I understand, and this is me pulling back in the back of my brain, the stores there, do you actually play at LFG or local friendly game store or whatever the abbreviation for that is?
I play in like four different ones. I'm not hired by any or anything, but if you've ever been to Jacksonville, it's way too big. Like it is way too big to
I actually think it's the largest city in the United States per land distribution. Yeah,
it is. And the problem with that is there's 12 game stores, which is good, but when they're, you know, 20 miles away each. So it's, I go to my main one and then I play at other ones, but
you want to give them a little loving shout?
Oh, I mean, well, I mainly play at Java Game House. They're right down the street from me. And that's partially why I even got this apartment. Cause I was like, this is perfect. It's literally right there. They're my favorite. Jesus. Counterspell. They host us on occasion, but they also do a lot of Age of Sigmar and Warhammer stuff. What's another one? Coliseum of Comics, but that's everywhere in Florida. They host whatever they can, but they kick us out too early and I stay up way too late. So it usually works better to go to Java at least.
I got some choice words for Coliseum of Comics. They're interesting.
Understood. And gosh, there's, like I said, Gamers Imperium, Casual Heroes, Darby's Dungeon. Way too many.
If you go to any of those stores, we are specifically saying hi to you. Thanks for listening. Big fans. As a fellow Floridian, I understand your pain. I understand that you get to go to Wawa and I do not. I miss Wawa more than anything than in the world. And Waffle Houses. I really miss Waffle Houses.
Oh, we got a Bucky's nearby too now. So.
Oh, geez. Oh, really? Sheesh. Man, Florida's really going up places. You know what? We're moving back. Here we go. Anyway, so we're going to be talking to him about the stuff he's been doing there and stuff he's been doing for helping out Monster Fight Club and just kind of all that stuff. We're going to learn what a fixer is, which is, I guess if you're coming from the Infinity point of view, they are your workhorse.
Yep,
such and such. They're all kind of the same thing in a lot of ways. So before we do that, we got to talk about business. We really, really appreciate our patrons and our patrons currently, because I still don't get a very updated list very frequently. I really need to make sure that this is fully updated. But if you have become a patron, I apologize. Me getting the list is a little difficult because Tim is always pretty busy. He's currently at Atlantic City Open and he's hosting over there. So by the time this episode comes out, that's going to be over. But make sure you watch the VOG or the VOD, I guess. I think it's technically what it's called. So go watch that. So we really, really like to throw out an extra special appreciation for Cyril S, Derek S, Quim B, Nick B, and Aleph is the way. I finally did it the right way. You're welcome, Dan. So we really, really appreciate you listening to it, to us, and being a digital nomad. It really, really helps us out because it helps pay for all the random million things that I have to pay for in order to keep this all going. And I really do appreciate that. And of course, we are part of the Professional Casual Network. If you would like to support the network, please sign up at our Patreon or purchase some hot swag at streamlabs.com. Professional Casual Network 1. There should hopefully be new swag at some point. I'm literally just waiting for art, which I've been told is on the horizon for a while now. Still haven't got it. But you guys will know as soon as I do. I personally am sponsored by Monument Hobbies. They are the paints I love to use. And if you want to watch me use them in ways that are creative, please come down to the Twitch for Professional Casual Network. And you can see me do it every Sunday, Monday, and Thursdays, usually around 7:30. There's a little leeway there, most Thursdays anyway. And if you have any things that you need me to help you paint, I am more than willing to help out. I know that we help people do bases a lot. That seems to be something that comes up quite a bit. And Baron of Dice makes some of the coolest dice in the biz. You can use the code Arachne to get yourself a swanky little 5% discount. They did just start releasing the sets for Blood and Plunder. This is not the Blood and Plunder channel, so I will not go on it for too long, but they are pretty cool. I have not got any of those sets quite yet, but I'm excited to get my little greedy little mitts on them, and I'll talk about them when I do. And of course, we can never forget our sponsor, Mr. Laser, MrLaser.square.site. And of course, Nuds for making really, really cool little knickknacks that you can do. I'm sure he can start making stuff for Cyberpunk if people are interested in it. You can follow the link I think I'm hopefully going to put in the notes of this episode to his website. He's a great guy, and we would really love to help him out. Of course, we have some events coming up. There's the Manhunt Narrative event happening on July 26th at Tabletop Nexus in New Hampshire. That one might be over by the time this episode comes out. And there's been a lot of editing in the background, let's put it that way. There's an Infinity Tournament happening in Webway Games in Marlborough, Massachusetts, August 17th. There's Gen Con for some probably all of these games, but at least for Cyberpunk, the events happening are the first and second. That is happening in Indianapolis, Indiana. Nova, there is a Cyberpunk event happening on the 28th. There's also Blood and Plunder going on there, and there's also an ITS event happening at Nova. So if you're interested in any of those games, please go check it out. Nexus Cube, Free or Die is happening September 13th. That one is also in New Hampshire. Midgard is doing Warcrow's Husk Holiday, which is October 11th, which is in Tabletop Nexus, which I believe is also in New Hampshire, correct, Mike?
Yeah, Midgard's in New Hampshire.
Sweet. And then Beantown Beatdown, which is December 6th and the 7th, which is happening at Everwinter's Gaming Convention at the Hyatt Regency in downtown Boston. Absolutely phenomenal. It's sort of becoming the big con in the Northeast, especially at least for New England. We really wanted to turn into that. So if you're interested in helping support that, definitely come down to that. It has lots of different games. Most of the GW ones, MCP, Infinity's there. I'm thinking I might try and get Blood and Plunder going there. Maybe not this year, but maybe next year. But if you're interested in any of those things, please come on down and use the code SPRING10 for 10% off of that. Now let's get to the meat and potatoes. Alex, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Mike, shut up. I'm trying to talk to my new friend, Alex. You're my old best friend. I'm talking to my new best friend, Alex.
Friendship over with Mike.
They're from the same area. They're going to bond better.
It's true. We're going to talk about alligators and crocodiles and the differences between them, and we're going to get really intricate on the, you know, the differences in those things.
The snout, mostly.
Yeah, mostly. And also, what's your favorite Florida beach?
There isn't one.
Yeah, good. Good answer. That's the correct answer. I like Merritt Island because you'll randomly get stabbed by a heroin needle. That's probably one of my favorites.
I think it was around Jupiter. That's around Jupiter that I was like, this is like the dirtiest beach I've ever been to, but it wasn't like trash. It just looked like dirt.
Yeah.
It wasn't like nice sand. It wasn't a sandy beach. It was just dirt.
I have been told by classmates who are all from Puerto Rico. We call them Puerto Ricans. And they say that the beaches there are so much different than here because they're so much more like flat as opposed to like what's happening in Florida. So then when I came up here to New England, the beaches here were especially creepy because they're mostly just rocks.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even like I've been all over the place. There's the beaches in Florida are definitely interesting, but a lot of the other ones are much more cool, except for black sand beaches. They just you just catch on fire.
Yeah, it's wild. Like, those are mostly in Japan, though, like the Japanese area, like Iwo Jima type.
Well, I was in Hawaii. So,
OK, so Pacific Islands, right?
Yeah.
Where are we going? Right in the middle.
Right in the middle somewhere. Right.
Yeah.
In that big body of water over there.
So, Alex, whenever we have a guest come on, the first question we always ask them is, what is their nerd origin story? Go.
For which part? Do you mean specifically for miniature games?
At the very beginning. We're talking about little baby Alex. He's just crawling out of the manger. You know, he just came out, and you know, they gave him a D&D book. Probably that would have been like fifth or fourth edition.
How old do you think I am?
I don't know, like 320.
just about. I think I'm a fae creature, but I played AD&D, so I know what THACO is. I don't have a physics degree, so I can't calculate THACO. So that's problematic. Miniature games for me is relatively new. I mean, I played Magic all the way from the beginning, and I'm mad because we used to think Disintegrate actually you would like tear the card. So I'm sure we tore like a Time Walk or something. there's some bad events there, but mostly Dungeons and Dragons to start with. Mini games came about. Geez, what, maybe? When did Aristea come out?
Ooh, that's a good question.
2016?
I was going to say, it's probably like five. Oh my God, it's been 10 years?
Well, they're coming out with the second version, too.
Yeah, they sure are. And a video game.
Yeah.
There's an episode on that. If anybody's curious, go to whatever episode of Arachne that is. They're good people.
That is what started me in minigames, because I was like, I love this. I love how Hexer plays. I love how all these things do. I love the tactics. I mean, I played Final Fantasy Tactics and all those games forever. I mean, I tried like Warhammer 40K, did not enjoy it as much. Yeah, mainly played Aristea. Then I got into Infinity and played Nomads, but no one in town played, oddly enough. And then I moved to Florida. Well, I moved back to Florida because I was living in Baltimore. And oddly enough, the War Corps for Jacksonville is the guy I got in touch with. And he set me up playing that, took me to a few tournaments, put me up against the worst people possible.
Good man. Good.
I mean, he put like, he actually handed me one of the things. He just goes, I'm sorry. And I was like, okay. And it just turned into a endless rules session for us. The other people were great. I had a great time with two of the three matches. But one match was like, oh my gosh. But I was also a very bad Nomad player. So that's beside the point. And
I'm taking notes right now.
Always always into futuristic stuff. Always into cyberpunk. I mean, I literally have... I'm wearing a Billy Idol cyberpunk shirt.
Excellent.
It's a terrible album. Don't listen to it. It's really bad. But... yeah, and got into Cyberpunk, saw the Kickstarter. I was like, if it's going to be good, it's going to come out on actual retail. So I waited for that, and then I saw the retail, and then I just went crazy into it.
You know, it's funny. We've been doing this for almost like 2 years, right? I've talked to a lot of people, got a lot of episodes of Arachne out there, and in no way has anyone ever entered the miniatures gaming sphere with Aristea.
It's a good game.
It's amazing. It's such a good game, but nobody even knows it exists.
I've never won a single game of that, but I love playing it.
I don't think I have either, but I never play like, oh, this is the good meta. Like, I have a problem with meta. I go, ooh, Fiddler's fun. She shut down turrets. Like,
monkey. Monkey good.
Oh, I bought the special edition thing for the tournament pack.
Sexy lady.
Sexy lady on the rollerball. I was like, I need all that.
She works for Nomads too. Yeah. Actually, even if you play the regular game, I don't know which faction of Nomads do you play.
God, I can't remember their ship. They're the crazy ones that have Praxis Laboratories.
Baku.
Yeah.
Baku.
I don't play the Black Vault. I play the people who are, you know, into unethical science and making the Hollow Men and going, it's you didn't need it, right?
Well, that's Tunguska. Tunguska have the Hollow Men. They're the ones with the baby jars.
The baby jars hooked up to video games.
Yeah, kids playing Fortnite.
Yeah, I'm the apparently the one that plays the angry furries and the battle nuns.
Yeah, that's definitely it. Yeah, I just actually sold most of my Bakunin with all the stuff going on. That's a great army, man. It's a lot of fun.
See, I'm terrible at them, but
they're an army that it's the chaos of the individual pieces making the whole better, which I think definitely fits the theme pretty well. Oh, yeah. So it falls apart quickly if you don't know what's going on.
I know that feeling very well. I went up against Wolfgang. It's a huge wolf.
Wolf, McWolf, Wolf. McMorrie.
Yeah, it's just he just literally came up. And my positioning was so bad. It was terrible.
Yeah? Is that right? Yeah, I know somebody who uses that. His name's Mike. He's an asshole.
How you doing?
In my defense, they were laid like this and then this. And he's like, I could see the other base. And I was like, oh, no.
You got to do that kind of stuff with Infinity for sure. All right. So that obviously answers the next question. How did you get involved in Cyberpunk Combat Zone? Now, I'm going to extrapolate on that because you've already technically answered it. You are what they call a fixer for Monster Fight Club. How did that all happen?
Well, so I have the ability to just talk. I will talk to any human. Like, I'll just walk up to people and be like, you look interesting. Tell me about whatever the heck that is. And that works for me sometimes and, you know, works bad for me sometimes. And my spouse has to come get me and go, no, we're not going over here. We're going this way. It's happened more times than I like to admit. But yeah, I had a friend who was doing a convention. Well, I still have a friend. He was doing a convention in town and he knows I just like running events and stuff and doing things like that. And he just goes, do you have any games you want to show off? Because I know you used to work at a gaming store, but then you had to make actual money. And I was like, yes, I just got this game. So I had literally, I think, a month before gotten Cyberpunk Combat Zone. And I was like, ooh, this game's great. And I played it and was already starting to get other people into it. And then I was like, yeah, let's do it at the con. So I showed it at the con, but of course, me being me, I was like, oh, I should probably make sure this is legal. So I just messaged Monster Fight Club on their customer service line and just typed in. And I was like, hi, my name is Alex. I'm trying to do this and I want to make sure this is okay. And I just got a message back from the person I now know as Ruga. Name's Audrey. I think y'all talked to Audrey. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's She's Ruga. Great. So if I ever say She's Ruga, great. That's her. She just goes, what do you want? And I was like, I don't want to get sued. And I was like, that's it. That's all I want. She's like, okay. I was like, do you need anything? And she goes, oh my God, send me pictures, send me everything, show me people, show me stuff, show me interactions. I was like, I can absolutely do that. So thankfully we have the ability to kind of makeshift things to work. So we like hooked up our phone to a computer to show a screen of just Combat Zone behind me. I was like, this works. And it worked out real well. And that started my whole group. So
how big is your group now?
My Discord is 170 people.
It's pretty impressive.
Jacksonville's huge, but it's also turning into connections from other people because like Orlando has a very small scene, so they don't have a big group. So it's nice to have someone they can come to and just go like, what the heck is this? And they'll like show me a gear card because I've been involved in so many different meta changes already for that game that people come up with some weird ways to read rules.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really help that there's a lot of things that go on, at least in like the meta aspect of Cyberpunk, that are not like very well explained. Like the decks tend to be a little confusing because there's really, you can't just like read the rule book and know what the heck it is that they want you to do.
Yeah.
But I guess in some ways is a miracle of the game, right? Because it makes it simple.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing I always love about any game is if it's an easy game to play, but the characters make it complex, that's what I love. I cannot deal with, like, don't get me wrong, I have games where I have a book open, but when it's that many figures and that many interactions and that many things, and you're, like, flipping through pages, and you're going, hold on, this is the wrong book, I need this one, hold on, where's the update, check the website, and then I forget what I was doing, and then I forgot to shoot, and then I missed a whole phase.
You say, it's strange, it seems like you're kind of sort of referring to a specific game. That I might have heard of, like a certain specific kind of thing.
Well, I did say I'm also dumb, so it's really good when a game is easy for me because then I could learn it. It's just like, oh, okay, because I will forget whole groupings of rules.
Amen, brother.
I have definitely noticed over the years I appreciate a game that does not drive me to drink and just simplicity. Like this game, Blood and Plunder. Cyberpunk is very, very simple to play. It's very, very easy. Infinity is the one game I let myself have the complication for. Mm-hmm. And even then, it's just like, I just don't have time to play it anymore. So yeah, simplicity is good. I'm also a dumb. What about you, Mike? Are you a dumb?
I'm a big dumb.
It's real nice. That's the one thing I like about it, too. And also, anytime I can kind of mix up the rules a little bit to make them just go, well, let's try this for a thing. It makes it work out so much better.
So that leads perfectly into the next question, which is, what do you do with your own community that kind of makes it different than... Because you are, in some ways, you're sort of well-known, especially by Monster Fight Club themselves. They always mention you every time I ever talk to them. Like, make sure you talk to Alex and Jacksonville. And so... When Mike brought up that you were willing to talk, I was like, okay, cool. Finally, I outsourced correctly, I guess. You know, so Mike's a good, he's a member of the team. Good job, Mike.
I get paid.
I mean, anytime y'all want to talk, I'm down. Like, I love doing this stuff.
We'll probably have you on more often. But a general overview, what is it that you do with your community that you think makes it so much more unique than just like a regular gaming group?
The biggest thing I always have with games is there is... kind of the stagnation, you know, like I'm going to play this game and then it's, we're playing this one scenario. We're doing this. Okay. Where you meet up, you play the one scenario of this. Okay. See you next week. And that's fun if you're just like sitting in your house having beer and pretzels. But if you're going to go out and shower and smell good and hopefully eat before you come out, so you're not all grumpy. I've had a few games where I didn't eat and I just said, I have to set the dice down. Give me a second. But what I do with Riot is I try to give them something interesting to look forward to, mm-hmm. you know, because gaming groups, I don't think are about building metas and becoming the most competitive, becoming the most crazy. It's about social interaction. It's basically a reason to get out of your house and come play a game with some friends. So that is a big thing I do.
Going to work. I've always thought that a gaming group's main goal is to just help with the monotony of going to work and doing the same crap every single day, every single week. And I completely agree with you. What I have noticed is that when people have the ability to play these games with people, something I've noticed was, and even Mac has talked about this, something that happens with Cyberpunk is everybody just wants to play Turf War, which is just let's kill each other. And then all of a sudden, you have a game where you're only being rewarded for killing characters, and it completely hurt. And then people are like, well, this game's simple. It's for babies. It's a baby game. And like, if you never even touch the tech stat, it's like, well, what is the point of those characters? And there is none if you're only killing.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's what I try to do with a lot of my players, because there's one, oddly enough, my group has, I think, 5 Alexes. So we all have names. Like, I'm Alex the older. There's Alex the youngest. There's Alex facial hair. There's Alex the wise. Alex the youngest actually just won our league. He got the most points out of the whole thing, even though it wasn't. Hey,
congratulations, Alex the younger.
Alex.
You're an inspiration. You're the true Alex now. You're real Alex.
We've been calling him the most Alex. But also, he made in the game, he made Kiwi a complete monster. Like, I love hackers, but I could never get them to work. He shows up one day and he's just like, oh God, I'm bringing Kiwi and these 4 guys. And he made it so I couldn't see her. I couldn't damage her. And everything she did was like spreading and not letting me get rid of hack tokens. I was just like, all right, thank God I'm playing piranhas. I could just stun everything until this goes away.
We should have you on an episode for piranhas. I've got to say, they've been making my hair gray. Just because I cannot figure out how to play them correctly. So I'm just kind of calling it quits and I'm going to go become a clown.
Well, I mean, piranhas are also clowns.
That's true. I'm just talking. I want more direct access to the giggle juice. I'm going to put it inside my veins.
Do it. I mean,
don't tell me what to do. You're not my dad.
If you run 6 stars, you can. But I mean, Dead Ringers and Scissors. The comically oversized scissors. That's your killing unit. And the other ones are meant to annoy everything else.
They sure. And throw pies.
Yeah.
Yes. And throw pies.
I got that.
There was one bozo item that was something ridiculous. Like your guy gets back up after he dies. It's something I'll have to look it up.
I forget what it is. Is it the shock? Is it the handshake shocker?
It might be.
I don't remember. What were we going to say, Mike?
I also got that misprint range green chainsaw.
From sure the Zoners?
Oh, yeah.
I wish it had range 3 discard, so it's turn it on and throw it. I was perfect like, for the awesome. Bozos.
Well, what are you talking? It's Thor's chainsaw. It's made out of moonanite. Chuck that thing and just call it back to your hand. He's the chosen one.
Careful where you grab it, though.
That's true. You definitely do not want to grab that the wrong way. That one might hurt. So, you know what? All right, joking aside, so you got your own little individual community that you're trying to spice it up. That's kind of the point of this is that you want to keep it spicy, right? You want that honeymoon phase to last as long as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. So let's just say you go to your local shop, you're playing. What do you do? So is it like on that day, you're like, hey, guys, we're going to play this scenario next week at this, you know, whatever, bring a list like that, or do people just show up and they're like, hey, Alex, and you're like, hey, Alex, and the other guy's like, hey, Alex, and the other one's like, hey, Alex, and the other's like, hey, Alex. Do you just say, hey, this is what we're playing today? Do you assign opponents? Do you let them pick it on their own? Even though if you just put Alex versus Alex,
up to free game.
Correct.
Let's just go. The Alexes. When we did have the Alexes shall fight 4 person fight that. I lost that one very quickly. What is it about people that think like I know it? Well, I do know most about Cyberpunk, but they're like, kill the one with the most knowledge and then we can figure out the rest. So they're literally three people just ganged up on me and killed me. And I was like, all right, turn two. That's good.
They're just trying to remove the monotony of the models for you so that you can mostly focus on telling them the rules.
They're doing you a favor. Wrong.
Yeah. I've been on the receiving end of that a few times.
It's very true. So it depends upon the people. You're around a community enough, you begin to find out which ones are good at initiating, like just walk in, go, you fight me. And then there's some that are wonderful, awkward little beans, and they just stand there and kind of stare at their minis. So if it's something like that, I usually try to give them a scenario or something like that. Scenarios, or even if they're really feeling spicy, I have all the minis. And I'm usually willing to say, hey, if you want to try out a different gang, message me before, I can bring it up. And I've had people go, I want to try Zoners. I want to try Bozos. Hey, can you bring up Adam Smasher so I can put 100 points of gear into him? Went very badly, but it was funny. I wish the Sandevistan worked different, but, well, different on him. But yeah, sure. Mostly that. I try to make sure that everyone gets something a little different in each game.
Now, do you find yourself doing narrative events and all that with any kind of frequency?
So I want to do more narrative events, but I have to. So I started and I did a narrative event. There were 10 people. It's like herding cats. Trying to get 10 people to do any. And I'm like, hey, it doesn't have to be at any time. I'm not going to post all these. I need to tell you, here's the time. Here's your opponent. Let's do this. Stealing some ideas from other big miniature games to try to make it work a little bit better, because I also would like territory, you know, like, oh, I've taken over Haywood, I get these bonuses.
Yeah, let me tell you, the seduction of the map-based campaign, the siren's call of thinking about, like, your color being on a piece of paper, the women love it. It just it gets the ladies. They love it. They're like, wow, you got a colored piece of paper? That's rad.
Oh, that's like, so yeah, hot.
That's sick.
It hits different.
I love stuff like that. I mean, I have a map of Night City. I have the Gangs of Night City game. I'm more than happy to have stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be fun, too, is if there was a special rules like, oh, well, you control Haywood, well, you have access to these weapons. Yeah. Like maybe if you control that, you would have access to a different faction's weapons kind of thing. Or I could make up weapons.
It's amazing to me where you can have the limitless capability of the human imagination where we can do all these crazy things. And then when it comes to playing a game that's made by a company on the other side of the planet Earth, as soon as you're like, you know how we hate this thing? Why don't we just change it? And they'll be like, no, anything but that. Please just chop a finger off first and don't do it. And so when it comes to doing stuff like creating custom stuff, if you have a group of people who are willing to just kind of roll with the punch, if it's bad, we just change it. It's not that big a deal. But it's amazing how strict of a mindset people will have when it comes to how they play with their dollies when it's written by a company that, you know, might see the game in a completely different way, right? Yeah, Mike, go ahead.
They're purists. They got to play it as the rules. They can't. They can't spice it up.
And that's perfect. And I get it, right? You want to buy a product. It's like people with video games these days, right? It's like a lot of companies are like, hey, we're going to make this game as a beta and we're going to change, you know, even though the game is like out, but they're just like, they don't want to say it's out because if they say something, you know, well, if you buy this game and there's errors, right, it's a beta. So it's kind of, I think a similar sort of mentality where I think people want the thing that they buy to be worth it, right? So if you spend $50 on a starter box, right? Whatever. So if you want to play Cyberpunk, you spend $50, you get one of the starters, and you're like, okay, this is what I'm going to play with. I don't want to buy anything else, and I'm going to learn these models really specifically. I'm going to paint them this way and blah, blah, blah. But then as soon as you introduce a random factor of the unknown, the human brain really, and this has been proven scientifically, I'm going doctor mode here. it's been proven that the human brain is super uncomfortable with unknown, where it's a case of like you take a test, you just want to know what you got. You want to know if you did better, you know, good or bad. You would feel less bad if you failed the test than you do when you don't know if you passed or failed it, right? So I think that it's interesting when you find people who are willing to play around with that dynamic. And I think that what you're saying is a really, really cool way of opening up new ways to play the game. But there is a very big hang up for it. I think it's a shame. And I think that the fact that you're even trying to do it is amazing. And I think you deserve a lot of props for that. So to me, you're now the true Alex.
I am the truest of the old Alex.
Alex Prime.
I'm okay with that. I'm just I'm not piloted by a Tenno, but that's getting a little bit more obscure. But with that, like, I've always loved narrative campaigns. I love the idea of, oh, my character did this. Oh, I made a character creation for Cyberpunk for a scenario, and your character was always free, and every scenario you would upgrade them. Those became such overpowered minis, but all of us had them. And it was a mess. It was lovely, but I wanted people to be able to make a character, make a story, and fight with it in the game. So mine was a ex-joy toy. So she had an ability that's basic, like a ward roll, is if she takes damage, she can make an influence roll. And if she passes an influence check, it doesn't happen. Which I like to think was more, you know, she's like, oh, don't shoot me.
She's sexy.
I had a whole story. They ran a ramen shop. You know, she joined the Tiger Claws. Had Oya booted everything.
I do love ramen, I gotta say. I tell you what, I do love me some ramen.
I mean, if you ever come back to Jacksonville, there is a place that I gotta take you then, because I've had way too many bowls of ramen in way too many cities. My spouse has had it in Japan, and she's like, this is the best one. So
That's tough. That's tough. Oh, well, let me just tell you, there's not a whole lot of stuff going on in Jacksonville.
Agreed.
It's definitely, unless you're going there for the beach, I guess, or you really like football.
You come to the Jaguars for liking football?
No.
I think we're the, I don't know. I like their color, but I mean, I also like teal, but.
It's not enough to build a brand around.
No, but there is a good cyberpunk group in Jacksonville, I hear.
And ramen.
And ramen. So I hear. And ramen.
All right. So that's interesting. Yeah. So I agree with you. I think in a similar train of thought, the thing that really just gets my Jimmy's rustled is, in a good way, is as soon as you can take a game and you can introduce a overlaying idea of I can win the battle, but I will lose the war because you take too many losses or whatever, you take that Pyrrhic victory. As soon as you introduce that concept into a campaign-y type game system, Dylan's all in. I'm all in on Red. All of it. Everything I own, I'm in. And I think that anytime you can add an emotional component to a game, it's both good and bad, because there's, let me just tell you, as I'm going to go into doctor mode again, there's good emotions and there's bad emotions.
Oh.
I know, it's crazy. It's very, very crazy. And so if you look at games that have historically done very well in regards to cult-like communities, you have Mordheim, and you have games that have copied Mordheim, like Mordheim. Mordheim is a Mordheim-like game. And so if you have any type of game where you have characters that kind of live on a knife's edge, where you're like, I have put a lot, Blood Bowl is another great example of it, where you have like this character, I really love him because he's the biggest beatiest that exists on this plane of being or whatever. But then there happens to be a random event where he gets hit in the head with a rock, and all of a sudden he really loves the color blue, and that's all he likes. That's all he can ever think about ever again. And he's useless on a battlefield again. So it's interesting that if you are going to make a campaign system, if you can introduce that emotional aspect to it, you're activating a whole nother part of the brain, which I think creates the best stories, in my opinion. I'm not sure if you agree, Mr. Alex.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't make much sense to have a story with no emotion. It's just people walking around, I shall do this. Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. No, I name half of my characters in my army. It's like, oh, that's this guy. That's this guy. Like my campaign army for Cyberpunk, I had two characters that were supposed to be sent by the Tiger Claws to check if this new family that wanted to join was good enough. So I would never use them unless absolutely needed. So half the time I have a Ronin sniper and a Ronin assassin just standing there doing nothing. And everyone's like, are you going to move those? I was like, they don't do that here. That was their whole thing.
They are not ready.
Do you have a family tree for your army?
That one, yeah. Because it was the ramen shop was the... It was the mother and father were both the Gokudos. The grandmother was the Oyabun. And I used a extra Oyabun head and the, it's not Rocker Girl, it's the Raver Girl and I put it on her body because I had the original Kickstarter one. I painted her up, and that was my original character, and she was the ex-Joy toy.
And as an example in Blood and Plunder, he hasn't died yet, but I have a captain. His name is Robert Beetlebug, and every single time he dies, his son is going to take over. So he will become Robert Beetlebug the first, or the second in this case, the third, the fourth. And those little stupid
the dread
things.
Pirate Beetlebug?
He's not a pirate. He works for the English Crown, sir.
For
thank
now.
You very much. For now. Privateer. The dread privateer Robert Beetlebug the first.
Until he's disgraced.
Well, then it just turns into the disgraced dread privateer.
Well, he could be the former, formerly known as Robert Beetlebug.
Oh, yeah.
The first of
just
the,
a print symbol as your flag. The pirate formerly known as Beetlebug.
Amazing. But yeah, so Mike, I know you have been working on concepts for doing some kind of narrative event. What ideas have you come? What conclusions have you reached?
It's a lot of work.
That's yep. fair.
Yep. I think a big thing that I'm trying to do is I want to build the mechanics before I get to the fun part. And because I feel like once you build the campaign itself for the narrative, if you don't have a really good technical side built in the beginning, you're probably going to muck up what you're trying to do for the fun part.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
So do you have any tips or advice for that kind of stuff?
Me or Mike?
Both of you.
Oh.
Like, what are some simple things that you can do to keep the technical side of it simple? Like, I find tracking stuff is usually something people have trouble with. And I almost used a bunch of words I probably wasn't supposed to use on this. Bring a pencil. For the love of Christ, you don't have to use a pen. Write on your piece of paper with a pencil. Because you can erase it.
Everything's permanent.
Like, I just don't understand the people that write it with pen, and then as soon as like their stat changes, they're like, okay, let me scribble it out, and then they change it, and then they can't read it, and then the next game they're like, well, I think I did this last week, and I'm like, just use a goddamn pencil.
See, I've had this whole argument because I'm playing. I play legacy games as well, and my character sheets up with pen.
I hate it. You make me upset. You know what, everybody? He's no longer the true Alex. Oh my god.
I scribbled through it like an old Scantron sheet.
Hear that, Alex? Youngest Alex, you're back in.
You're back in. You're back in, brother. Take your spot on the fucking podium.
Oh, I love Alex the youngest. He's cool. That kid comes like, he's broken meta so many times. I'm just like, man, just come up with something else cool. That's why I try to throw new ideas at him. I'm like, make a hacker. Or he said, can I bring, because I did one of my league things was, you can have as many gear pieces as you want, except for the bulky rule. And they all cost €1. And he just goes, can I put it all on Adam Smasher? I was like, absolutely, go for it. So there's Adam Smasher with just these rows of gear. It was a problem. But he made good on it. He's like, okay, well, I have a react with a Sendavis stance, so I'm going to do that. And I have these guns, and they're all smart linked, and I have +9 attack or something. Those people came up with the funniest stuff, and I was like, I am so proud of all of y'all.
So that is the point, I think, of this entire episode is relax. Just do stupid, silly things. If everybody's playing by the same silly rules, a lot of times it works out just fine.
It's true. And it's I don't like to break rules. I like to make new rules. Because a lot of times what happens is, I mean, heck, not last week, but the week before that, we were doing a boss fight. So we only had our leader. And the whole thing was one leader fights one leader, and then it chains up, and then it chains up, and it turned into a 4v4. But the person was wondering, can I use, it's Decker, it's the lawman boss, Battle Harden? No.
You're talking about the psycho detective?
Hunter. Yeah, the psycho hunter. Yep. So his ability lets you activate another character for free, but how it's worded, it makes they were wondering if he could activate himself for free. And I was like, well, he wouldn't have any tokens, so he can't. And then they argued it. And then I said, well, if you really want to read this, you could read this this way, whereas the other person has to have activated for free before they can activate. And they just looked at it. They're like, I think we're thinking too much.
I would say so, yes.
Probably. It's probably one of those points where you just, I'll just say no. We'll go with that rule.
Well, see, that's permissive gameplay. That's what they call that, permissive gameplay. All right, so I guess that leads into the last thing that we'll talk about, maybe, unless we come up with something on the spot, as we often do. What do you think sets Cyberpunk Combat Zone apart from other miniatures games? Because it sounds like you've played ones that you didn't like as much as you do with this, obviously. So what do you think just makes it special?
I mean, the one thing that makes it special, I think, is the initiative system. Because I never liked games that... Because there's some games that you turn three, you're half dead, and your opponent still gets their entire turn. Like, I don't know if I can mention other games.
You sure can.
Right? Okay.
Yeah,
so I played Warcry a bunch.
No, not that one, please. No.
I love Warcry. It's so good.
Warcry's very good.
The problem is, if I lose two of my characters really early and I only have five, then my whole opponent's team, and I know numbers do matter, but it's kind of sucks for me. It's like, well, I'm just kind of dying here, and you kept all your little guys in the back, and I know that's the tactic, and it does play very well into it. But sometimes it's just not fun. It's, you know, I've had fights where it's just, you're just looking at your opponent, like, I can't win, dude. We can just end this now.
So Warcrow, I do love it, so I say this with love. Mm-hmm. What I have noticed is that it is another game by Corvus Belli where competitiveness is made with it's made with that in the forefront of your mind, mm-hmm. right? So like with Infinity, the reason why you don't get so upset about overpowered builds is because the game is kind of designed to be like, you need to cut as much fat as humanly mm-hmm. possible for your list. That's just how the game is played. And I feel like Warcrow is the exact same way, where you don't take things that are not optimal for whatever it is you're trying to do. And I think, to its credit, the fatigue system in that game really helps with situations like what you're describing, mm-hmm. where it kind of helps detract from Alpha Strike stuff at least as much as other games. So I agree with you. I do think that if you're in the mindset for a competitive game like that, I think that that works. But if you want more silly stuff, I think you have to find a rule set that's for it, which I think Cyberpunk is.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I found with Cyberpunk too, is there is, like I said, I've gone through so many metas. We've had people come up with crazy stuff. And I will go, I will bring my tournament team and we will fight. And it comes down to the wire. And I love that.
Yeah. Nothing beats having that just single die roll be the game decider. There's nothing that beats it.
Oh, yeah. I literally accidentally killed my Oyabun on purpose to my opponent have to come after me more, because that was the better way to do it. I was like, I'm going to block on red. They're like, you have two greens. Nah, I'm blocking on red. And I failed and I died, which worked out perfectly. But then they had to come and kill the rest of my group, which they didn't. But with stuff like that, it's easy to learn the game. It's easy to get into the game. And there is still realms for both highly competitive builds. Like, I have a Maelstrom player who will punch your face off, especially with the new animals, mercenaries, and, well, not animals, wild things. Can't have animals.
Not yet. Not yet.
They're well, no, too they new.
Yeah, the animals weren't around in the time of Red.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, not yet. Because they're going to have to advance the timeline at some point, even though there's like 11 billion gangs in the time of the Red.
True. See, I'm
that's a technical number.
I'm hoping eventually we get the Voodoo Boys, but I want the new Voodoo Boys, not the old Voodoo Boys.
Yeah. I'm all about the Moxies.
I love it. See, they're not really the Danger Gals.
They're sort of like, they're one of those, again, it's like with timelines, you trace it back, you know, family history. Everything's kind of related to everything, right? So you figure the Danger Gals sort of kind of led to the Moxies in a way, mm-hmm. just through like a chain of events that happened later. But it's funny going, like if you play this game, you have to go like read a history book, just because there's so much cyberpunk stuff. That's why I have Mike here, right? Because I don't have enough time to read all that stuff.
Hey, I read all that stuff.
I love all that stuff. Like half the time I'll just be reading something else. I was like, oh, that's this guy. He does this. He's crazy.
That's the good stuff right there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Mike, how about you? What do you think makes Cyberpunk different? Because obviously me and you play a lot of different games.
I want to make sure I include a lot of us for you.
Thank you. I appreciate
you're welcome.
I can add a couple if you need.
Yeah. We have a quota. Cyberpunk.
I wrote it in pen.
So Cyberpunk is very much a game that you can get people into very easily. We've talked about this before. It's your board game adjacent miniature game. It's your miniature game that you're going to get people in that are coming in from D&D, from Cyberpunk Red. It's a great intro game into the industry of miniature games. You don't want to swamp them with a 40K army or a Napoleonic army where they're going to be dealing with thousands of little miniatures. You have this game where you just like, I bought a box. I have 9 to 12 guys, and that's all I need for my army, technically, or I could even go less.
Or you can have a army of mariachi band members.
I still need to order them.
Hey, that's my fern right there.
I'm so excited for those. That was such a good thing. I was like, yes!
And it's fun that Cyberpunk's company, Monster Fight Club, they're just goofy. They're just nerds.
So fun.
You can tell they like this.
I mean, their whole history is just weird. Like, getting to talk to John, because I don't know how much y'all know about the company. Like, the small little details and everything. But, like, John used to play games with Mike Pondsmith. Like, that is how he just knows the guy. He's like, it's on his phone. I'm like, that's so weird to me. How do you just have someone? Yeah, like, he knows the guy. He will call him and just go, hey, I need a character that does this. And Mike will basically just make it so, and it happens. Because even though he sold it to CD Projekt Red and they have the rights, CD Projekt Red apparently is a very cool company. So if you just say, hey, we want to add this character, they're like, yeah, that sounds good. Unless it comes to Kickstarters, then they hate it. They're like, we're only allowed this and this, and it has to be this. I found out so many fine weird lines. Rules they have, but it's... Then they figured out what they were trying to make, and they were like, oh, that's fine. We thought you were making something completely different. My bad.
Well, there you go. And I think the glorious thing about the nerd community is the more people you get to know, the more, you know, it's weird how we think it's such a big thing, but really you see the same names a lot over and over mm-hmm. again, especially with John. Cause he was with Gale Force 9 and all that. So it's just yep. funny. You just see his name. You're like, wait a minute. Like, wait a minute. Cause I remember I was, bad. Yeah, right. Well, it's fine. Whatever. That's a whole other topic for discussion. But I remember I was going through the Call of Cthulhu most recent rule book, and there was a writer who was essentially the reason the Horus Heresy rule set happened in GW land. And he had mm-hmm. passed away, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a great guy. Look him up. He was an absolutely phenomenal guy. But it was kind of sad because, you see these people, especially the writers. The writers get around, especially the GW ones, just because they were kind of there at the forefront of this kind of, you know, hobby sort of in general, right? You know, there's some hand waving with that. But mm-hmm. it does go to show you that if you pay attention and kind of get ingrained in a community, right? So there could be a point where Alex, one of them, right? Who knows? True. You know, who knows, right? At this point, mm-hmm. especially in the Jacksonville area, what you might eventually see is like one of you guys may write a supplement for one of the companies, and all of a sudden now your name's in a book mm-hmm. and you're just like, I know that guy. And it's funny how small it is. And then, maybe later, again, it comes down to the point of where there's somebody at your game store who's just like, oh yeah, I know Alex. And you're like, I don't know, you're the head of a miniatures company or whatever. Right. That happens tons with like the people that make tokens. Cause I used to play at Warsenal, which was in mm-hmm. Florida. It was in Orlando. Yeah.
And they know Ed. You might know Ed.
I very well might. I don't think it is. I'm ringing off the top of my head. But it's like you just say, like, oh, yeah, you know, everybody's like, I love my Warsenal tokens and all that stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, I used to just play in their weird warehouse thing that was definitely not legal. You know, I'm knock on wood. I didn't say anything. I don't know. But we were probably doing things we weren't supposed to. and the, in a work environment. And so, it's just interesting to see that one of those benefits, those fringe benefits of being like in this community, and the long winded way of me saying, get involved with your communities, get to know people, mm-hmm. and it will pay dividends from a networking aspect in, I think, a lot of different ways, not even just nerding.
Enjoyment.
Right. Because
you might work with stuff you run into.
Right. And you might hear, like, somebody goes there is like, oh, I'm a realtor. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, I really need to find a place to move to or whatever. And they're like, oh, yeah, now you got a connection. And it's like, yeah, you know, you get, you know, he probably works a little bit harder for you because he knows you. And it's just one of the French. Please don't tell me you're a realtor.
Oh, no. I'm not that smart. I told you I'm dumb. I live in an apartment. If I had money, I wouldn't be playing mini games. But no, I mean, that happened with pretty much me. I started the Flesh and Blood community in Jacksonville. Our first judge. I don't judge that anymore because that game just got weird. Good game, but I can't do that. But two of the guys are realtors. They're like, hey, do you need a house? I was like, I work at a game store. You think I can afford a house?
It's funny. It's just funny how it works.
And also, Mac wrote for X-Wing 1.0.
He sure did. He was also Malifaux for a while.
Yes, and that's also how I know my friend who was the Warcore for Infinity now is dear friends with the people from Malifaux, and he was at Gen Con last year. You just meet everyone. Like, they'll just
say, hey. So become friends with these people, and it's funny how you might get access to big figures and some of your just like little random ideas, like we were talking about earlier, was like, mm-hmm. wouldn't it be funny if there was like a little spinning top weapon where you could use that, or just like just some stupid thing you made up that you think is funny, and you pitch it to whoever, and then it finds its way up to Mike Pondsmith, and you're just like, okay, now it's real.
Yeah, it's like, I think there is that. I think it's a grenade, though.
See, look at that. I already did it. I didn't even know I was
in the game. You did.
I'm pretty sure it's in, guys.
I'm pretty sure it's in Black Chrome.
But anyway, guys, I think we talked about it. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about before I begin the wrap up? Any parting thoughts?
This was fun. Have me on anytime you want.
Sure.
Yeah.
We can only have one Alex per quarter, unfortunately. That's okay. It's in the Kickstarter rules.
Yeah. I mean,
it's valid. That's valid.
And young Alex is next quarter. We already booked him.
he's booked tight.
Yeah.
I don't think he would talk. He is a very shy, very cool boy.
That's fine. We need all those people. He's probably lovely. He's probably a lovely young man.
Oh, he's awesome. Just very quiet.
We love you, Alex. You know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know who we're talking about.
Our favorite Alex.
I think we talked to Alex, and we talked about communities and just being a weird nerd.
And ramen.
And ramen in the Jacksonville area. And also how insanely big Jacksonville is.
It's unfortunately big.
And it's not even very dense.
Oh, no, that's the problem. It's because there's no walkable place in this entire city.
That doesn't make sense.
My hairstylist used to be 45 minutes away, and people would be like, what are you going to? And I was like,
right.
A decent hairstylist.
It's stupid. Anyway, guys, hear me out. I'm Dr. D. We're Arachne. We would really love it if you could give us some 5-star reviews. Some of the algorithms are more powerful than others. I believe that Google and Apple are the big ones. I think Spotify is the other one that really, really matters. But if you can give us a star review with some kind of words on it, you can even say Dr. D's a big dummy, dumb, stupid face, and that will help us out. We really appreciate the people who have done it. When I read them, I usually giggle because some of them have jokes and some of them are just really nice. And I really appreciate that. If anybody uses an iota of brain juice to even just think about this show outside of when they're listening to it, I really appreciate it. So I really, 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 really love you guys, and anytime you guys help us make the family a little bit bigger, it just brings a big old smile to my face that hurts my face. So just know that when you do it, you're causing me physical pain, which I know a lot of you guys, I think, get off on. I think at least mental damage. That's a lot. I mean, that's a lot of damage.
He is smiling right now. I can't vouch.
It hurts so
bad. It looks painful.
I just wanted to stop. Say, make me miserable. Tell me I'm stupid or something. Oh, God. But yeah, please, guys, if you can give us a review, I'd really, really appreciate that. And at this point, if you don't know who we are, you know, we're talking about stuff. We're just talking about stuff. If you can reach me, if you want to reach me, I can speak English. I swear. I've been struggling all day. You can find me. I'm Dr. D on Discord, dr.d, or you can email me at furypainting@gmail.com. Where can they find you, Mike?
You can find me on Discord at Inventor of Soup, or you can email me at inventorofsoup@gmail.com.
And what about you, Alex? Where can they find you?
I'm on Discord, but it's Alex Astronautilus. So
go ahead and spell that, because nobody knows how to spell that.
What? Everyone doesn't know that a rapper from Jacksonville named Astronautilus?
is it you?
No, his name's Andy Bothwell. He's a good guy. But it's Astronautalis.
And no, you're a very frequent talker in the Cyberpunk or Monster Fight Club Discord.
Yeah.
So they can definitely find you there. Is your name Fixer Alex in that?
Yes. I'm also the only moderator for the subreddit for Cyberpunk too. So
there you go. So if you've ever heard of Reddit, you could probably find him there too.
True. It's Alex Astronautalis there too.
It's spelled completely differently though. There's a PH in it.
Yeah, you gotta figure it out.
Or if you ever played WildStar, I was Alex Astronautalis there. So, but
I loved WildStar.
Me too.
I hate.
Hold on. WildStar shirts.
Oh yeah, baby! That's what I'm talking about.
I got full roused hours.
I hate how that game. It was supposed to be the WoW killer. All these games are supposed to be the WoW killers, and it just fell apart. It needed more endgame. It was undercooked. It needed some more endgame. Anyway,
you didn't like Red Moon? Okay.
I thought it was fun, but that was all there was.
It's true. It's true.
It's whatever. You know what? I should go find a private server for that. Supposedly, there's still things for that.
Yeah, Nexus Forever, but there's no combat. It's just house building, which is fun, but
that is fun. Well. Anyway, so the point of this episode, go play WildStar, a really, really dead MMO very long time. Oh, my God. And of course, we like to thank the people in the background. Thank you, whatever company made WildStar. I don't even remember who made it.
Carbine.
Carbine. Thanks, Carbine, for making WildStar. And Kara and me for doing the editing, and Tim for running the network. Sound like you want to say something. Yeah, that's right. You be quiet. You know what? I'm tired of this. You know what, Alex? You're my old best friend. Mike, you're my new best friend.
Well, that'll be good for the coming shows, you know.
I'm back in, baby.
I'm on the podium. Baby. Did it again. So thanks for listening, Chooms. And never forget, it's better to die on your feet than live on your knees. Bye.
Bye.
Dr. D and Soup, taking it to the streets. Fast dice, fast talk, you can't compete. On the mic, we elite. But never casual, slinging facts, making it tactical. Infinity's wild, unpredictable. The rhythm's unstoppable.